Text this morning is coming from Matthew 13, chapter 13, verses 44 through 50. If you do not have a Bible of your own, we have a few in the vestibule that we'd like to for you to take one as you exit the sanctuary this morning and accept that as our gift to you. If you are able, please stand as we read God's Word, and I'm reading for the English Standard Version. Matthew 13, 44 through 50. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you, Elsie. With your Bibles open to Matthew 13, we are going to look at a few other verses in Matthew, but then we'll also slip over to Philippians chapter 3. So if you want to place your bulletin or a marker there at Philippians 3, we'll look over there during the message as well. So let's ask once again for the Lord's help today. Father, we bless and praise your holy name, and we are delighted, Father, and thrilled with being reminded today of this season and what it's all about, the glory of Christ, the gift of Christ, the salvation that Christ brings, and Lord, for us who truly believe, Lord, that the true joy of Christmas is not restricted to a month or a day, but, Lord, the joy that we have over singing about and talking about and reading about the coming of Christ, Lord, is an everyday joy. The joy of the kingdom, the joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation and eternal life. Father, those great and wonderful eternal spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus and who He is and all that He's done, Lord, our hearts are thrilled, Lord, during this time, but not just during this time. And I just, Father, our prayer is that, Lord, the result of us being gathered together and singing to one another and giving in worship and hearing the Word of God read and proclaimed and gathering around the Lord's table, Father, observing Advent, all of these things, Father, you would use greatly in our lives. Change and transform us as believers into a greater likeness to the Son of God. And Lord, as unbelievers, you would winsomely and compellingly, decisively draw us to yourself in glorious salvation. Father, may none of us leave the same as when we arrived. It's a wonderful thing to be here. We're praying that you would do wonderful things in our lives and in this, your church. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Kingdom worth and kingdom warning. Well, we're finishing up the parables that are found in Matthew 13. There's seven of them. We studied the first two, and they revealed who the citizens of the kingdom are. We studied the second two parables, and they reveal to us the nature of the kingdom, its extensive growth and its radical transformation. Now there's this third set of two parables, the treasure and the pearl. And these parables are setting forth to us the worth and the value of the kingdom to those who are indeed its citizens. And I know you've heard the saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, these parables are teaching that and more. They are that and more. The beauty of the kingdom, the value and the worth of the kingdom are inherently part of the essence and nature of the kingdom. The value and worth, the beauty, the glory of the kingdom, they are already part of the kingdom. They are the kingdom. But not everyone sees that beauty. Not everyone appreciates that worth. Not everyone praises that value. Not everyone worships and glories in and rejoices in the great kingdom of God and its great king. But every true citizen of the kingdom does. Indeed, every true citizen of the kingdom indeed highly prizes and values and treasures the king and his kingdom. That's what Jesus is teaching us in these two. And then we close out Matthew 13 and the parables of Matthew 13. This final parable of the net, it sort of restates the truth that was brought out in the parable of the weeds, but it does hone in, it focuses in, it makes a specific application from the more general application that we saw in the parable of the weeds. So first let's talk about the treasure and the pearl, these two parables that Jesus taught. Short parables, large, great meaning. And immediately we see the similarities of these two parables, that they are teaching essentially the same point, that the man who finds this treasure in the field and the merchant who discovers this pearl of great value, they both of them determine that possessing that treasure and possessing that pearl is worth the loss of any and everything else in order to have that treasure, in order to have that pearl, for that treasure to be mine, for that pearl to be mine. It's worth everything else. That one treasure, that one pearl is worth everything else I have. It's worth more than everything else I have. The value of the treasure and the value of the pearl far surpass the collected value of all of their other possessions. They go and sell all that they have to buy that field. He goes and sells all that he has to obtain that pearl. So Jesus is saying that treasure then is truly treasured. That pearl of great value is now greatly valued. It was already a pearl of great value. It was already a treasure. But this man came along and treasured it. This merchant came along and valued it. The man and the merchant, they saw the treasure and they saw the pearl for what they were in and of themselves. They realized, they gloried in the value, the worth of their findings. And they so desired to have them, they were willing to lose everything else to have them. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like that treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like that pearl. So think about this. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure of all treasures. The gospel is a treasure. Christ is a treasure. He is precious. He is supremely valuable above all else. He is worth everything, even life itself. You simply cannot put a price, or you cannot estimate a value or a worth on things such as eternal life, only found in Christ. Salvation, only found in Christ. Forgiveness of sin, only found in Christ. Reconciliation with the Father, only found in Christ. Removal of God's just wrath toward our sin, only found in Christ. Rescue from the punishment of our own doing, our own sin, only found in Christ. Hope of everlasting life, only found in Christ. I attended a funeral yesterday for Kenneth Owen. His mother passed away, and we gathered there over at Southside Baptist to rejoice in her life and celebrate her life and her testimony for the Lord. And there was hope there at a time of grieving, and that's only to be found in Christ. Peace with God. Those are just a few items of his work. Think of his person. That's his work. Think of his person. Think of who he is. There is no number. There is no way we can adequately, with some kind of number, represent the value and the treasure of who Christ is. We're using numbers and we're using items to estimate worth of things for which he created. He created all of our values of measurements of worth. There's no way to truly represent the treasure of who Christ is. There's no way to put a price tag on the kingdom to which Christ brings us. He is the infinite, radiant, everlasting Prince of glory and of peace. He is the everlasting, eternal Son of God. He is the glorious promised one, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like that pearl of great value. But there's more here in these short little parables, isn't there? It's not only that the treasure and the pearl, they're of great value and worth in and of themselves. It's already treasure before he finds it. It's already of great value before he finds it. It's not only that the kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything else in and of themselves. It's also that the man who found the treasure and the merchant who found the pearl, they see them and know them and prize them for the value for which they are. They see their worth and they rejoice in their worth and they give all they have because of their worth. Because this treasure means more to me than anything else. Because this pearl means more to me than anything else. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. So Jesus is also teaching us something here about the nature of true conversion. What it means when you really find the treasure. It's already treasure. What does it mean when you find it? What does it look like when you obtain the pearl of great value? It's already of great value. What does it mean when you obtain it? Is Christ to us a treasure above all treasures? Is Christ to us a far greater value than anything else? Do we see the kingdom as so immeasurably valuable that we would be willing to lose all to have it? Well, that was certainly the case with the disciples when Jesus called them, wasn't it? Look back with me to Matthew chapter 4. We've already studied this passage. Let's just read it again. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. You know why? Treasure. Look at verse 21. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Great value. Now, look over in Matthew 9. It was all of the disciples, wasn't it? Here's Matthew's testimony of his own calling and him seeing the treasure, finding the pearl. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. What a place to be sitting. And he said to him, the guy sitting at the tax booth of all people, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Treasure. Now look at Philippians chapter 3. I want us to see this is the nature of true conversion. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 11, Paul is speaking. This is certainly the case with Paul, isn't it? In verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." You see that? Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. It's not worth as much as Christ. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." He's the treasure. Not all this other stuff. He's the treasure. "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Paul is saying, "I would do anything to have him." Treasure. Now look back with me at our text. The question is, when we speak of our conversion and our Christianity, is this the case with us? Is Jesus to us just a ticket to heaven? Or is he our life? Just this past week, 11 Christians were pulled off of a bus in northern Kenya and demanded to recite the Islamic Shahada. They refused to do so, and they were shot and killed on sight. Their names: Athanas Kitty, Enos Adhiambo, Kelvin Mandela, Wisely Mili, Tikane Kasali, Leonard Mukanda, Francis Mbuvi, Rogers Machuka, Anchori Akarosi, Emmanuel Barasa, and Nathan Beet. You know why they refuse to recite the Islamic Shahada? Now, that's the major creed of Islam, by the way. That's the saying, there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. You know why they refuse to say that as a matter of profession, as a matter of signaling that they were converting from Christianity to Islam? Because to them, the kingdom to them, Christ to them, the gospel to them is the greatest of all treasures. Even to be valued more than this life, life eternal is far greater than a few more years for losing your faith here on this earth. But there's even more about true conversion in these two parables. There's even more here about it, because Jesus says something here that's absolutely remarkable. Jesus says of the man, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So it was not a sorrowful thing to him. He did not say, oh, I'm so sad, I'm so grieved that I'm going to have to give up everything to have this treasure. It hurts my heart so much. I'm so troubled that I've actually got to give up something for this treasure. I should be able to have everything I want and this treasure. No, from joy of seeing that treasure is far surpassing anything else. From joy, he relinquishes, he sells, he lets go of all that he has to have that treasure. The treasure is where his joy is. It's not just that they valued the treasure and the pearl above all, but they did so with joy. It was a joy to them to lose everything else, to have, yeah, they lost everything else, but they have the treasure. Yeah, we had to give up everything else, but I have the pearl. Yeah, we had to forsake all, the disciples would say, but we have Christ. That's true conversion. Conversion is not a cold, clinical, theological transaction. It's a joyful, exuberant translation from death to life. When you find Christ, you find everything your soul desires, all that you long for. He is sufficient. He is enough. He is treasure. Let me ask you something. And let's be honest, if you went home today and you found a check on your coffee table made out to you in the amount of $1 million, would you be happy? Would you be joyful? If someone said, now you got to let some things go to have this check, would you? Yeah, okay. How much more? When we find Christ, we find more than money. We find more than this world can afford. We find more than we can imagine. How much more so do we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of hope? We sing it at Christmas, don't we? Joy to the world. The Lord. That means Yahweh has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing joy. My friends, the kingdom is a treasure. Christ is a treasure, and those who find it joyfully or willingly would give up anything to have it. It may cost us friends. It may cost us employment or advancement. It may cost us ridicule. It may cost us entry. It may cost us hatred. It may cost us our lives. But if we have Christ, If we have Christ, we have the greatest treasure of the universe. One last point from these two parables. Notice there is a difference between the man in the field and the merchant. The man kind of happens upon the treasure. The merchant was looking for pearls. Now, I think the point there is that we may come to Christ in different ways. We may come into the kingdom from different circumstances, as different people, different backgrounds, different ways in which the gospel has been presented to us, different ways in which we are introduced to Christ, but the reaction is the same. Different set of circumstances to get to that point, but then the reaction is the same. Joyful embrace of Christ and a willingness to lose all to have Him. He's just worth that much. He's worth that much. There are few things in this life that are worth dying for. But Christ is first and foremost. And then we have the parable of the net. I want to make a few points about that. You've heard the text read. If you remember the story of the weeds, this parable is very similar to that. The weeds grow up with the wheat, but at the harvest, at the end of the age, Jesus explains that the weed is separated from the wheat. The weeds are bundled and thrown into the fire, and the wheat is stored in the barn. In the same way, kind of in this parable of the net, the net draws up fish of every kind. The net is filled, but then the net is taken to shore and it is sorted. The fish are sorted. The good fish are saved in containers. The bad fish are thrown away. And Jesus explains, so at the end of the age, the angels will come and all will be gathered, and the evil will be separated from the righteous, and the evil will be thrown into the fiery furnace as the righteous are received into that kingdom. So in one sense, both parables are teaching the same truth. But there is one major distinction. There is something that Christ is kind of drilling down on here in this parable. In the parable of the weeds, Christ explains the field is the world. And so the teaching there was that unbelievers and believers, there's a mixture of unbelievers and believers throughout the world. But in this parable, the net is the church. It's not the world. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net. So even in the church, not just in the world, but even in the church, there remains a mixture of true faith and false faith, of believers and unbelievers, of those who are religious and those who have a relationship with God through Christ, of those who are trusting in their moralism and their good works and their good name, and those who are trusting in Christ. And what that means is it's possible to go to church, it's possible to be a member of a church, and yet not be a believer. You can be in church and not be in Christ. Let's let that sink in, because right now we're all in church. But we need to ask ourselves before we leave, are we in Christ? So how do you tell the difference, Pastor, between those who are just in the church and those who are not only in the church, but are in the church because first and foremost they are in Christ? How do you know? Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, covered up, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I think that's why those two parables come before this parable. Listen, dear friend, there will be, in the end of the age, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But there will also be joy. Joy abundant, overflowing, and uncontainable. Joy beyond measure and beyond worth. It comes down to who's in Christ, who is not. And we're getting ready to celebrate why he makes such a big difference. Why does it all come down to Christ? When we lift that wafer and that cup, those are the reasons why. Let's pray.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.